Hi, I'm Kim, and you're listening to the Ladies Night Podcast.
Hi, Kim.
Hi, Logan.
Well, you know, behind the scenes, let's just give them a little sneak peek. This is our second attempt at this introduction.
Which I say, it's pretty good. How many, we haven't, like, that, this is maybe a once or twice thing that's happened. Not many.
Yeah, no, not many. But it's just funny, because, like, if the energy feels different, it's because we've already done this.
Thankfully, you know, we only got like maybe 5 minutes in, and so we not half an hour. So yay. Yeah,
definitely not half an hour. That's good.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Anyway, how's it going?
It's good. You know, I'll reiterate again of, you know, it's starting to get fall over here, and you know, I've been good. I've been busy, but you know, I'm still sad though, because by this time now, you know, I may be cold, but I had the comfort of some of my favorite TV shows. And as of right now, there's still no SAG-AFTRA deal. And, you know, I don't know when that may happen, which really kind of bums me out.
So crazy. By now, we'd be like 3 or 4 episodes in. and at least, right? I mean,
yeah.
Because usually by the time we get to, what, the 2nd or 3rd week of November, we're on episode 8.
Mm-hmm.
Something like that, because that's normally when the mid-season hiatus is. So like normally we'd be gearing up for a mid-season hiatus in the next like 1 to 2 weeks.
Mm-hmm.
It's so weird.
Mm-hmm.
And we're not doing that. By now we'd have some answers about what the heck's gonna happen with Bodhi.
I know,
but instead
I know.
Stupid studios, man. I'm so mad because last time that we recorded was like right after the WGA deal.
Mm-hmm.
And we were so excited because we felt like that momentum was going to lead right into the SAG deal.
Mm-hmm.
And it did not, because the AMPTP went right back to the old playbook.
Backtracked completely.
Which it didn't work with the WGA. No. So I don't know why they thought it was going to work with SAG-AFTRA.
Honestly, dumbest move I've ever seen.
And also, I do think it was probably the same sort of attitude they had with the WGA initially, where it was like they made a deal with the DGA, so they just presented the exact same deal to the WGA, and the WGA was like, no, this doesn't work for us.
Mm-hmm.
So I feel like they took the WGA deal, presented it to SAG without thinking about the things that SAG cares about that are different.
Mm-hmm.
And SAG was like, this does not work for us. And the AMPTP was like, oh, what?
Which, crazy that writers and actors need different things.
I know. Who the crazy thought, right? It's not just one size fits all the time. What?
I mean, it kind of crazy when, you know, you have separate guilds for actors, directors, and writers. Huh?
Just like so strange. That they go back to the table and they just assume that SAG's going to take whatever they offer them immediately. It's like, no, they're not that scared. I mean, they want to get back to work, but they don't want to have been on strike for 100 days and walk away with no progress. Come on.
Mm-hmm.
So ridiculous. And so then the CEOs walked away from the table, which was bonkers.
So dumb.
All that big talk about how it's important to them to resolve the strikes, and they're the ones that walk away from the table. Yeah, okay.
Yeah, and now with the threats of like, oh, potentially, you know, the seasons themselves could be canceled, or potentially shows could be canceled. I'm like, come on. Like, you really want to play that dirty of a game? Okay, like, you, like, come piss people off. Come try and do that. I dare you.
Yeah. I mean, part of it I get. Like, I understand if it's just a matter of canceling filming and like seasons for this TV season. Yeah, I mean, they're not wrong. We're approaching a point where it's sink or swim, you know.
Mm-hmm.
We're either going to have new episodes in the spring or we're not. I mean, mm-hmm. we can't go much longer without mm-hmm. actors, you know. The writers mm-hmm. are back to work writing episodes, but they can't do much until they know how many episodes they're going to film and what actors are coming back.
Yeah.
You know, and nobody can make deals until this is resolved. So we mm-hmm. know nothing. It's great. It's really mm-hmm. great. But we will be cautiously optimistic.
Yes.
Because SAG put on their Instagram on Friday, that they're working through the weekend. Because, I mean, I think their deadline that they all have in mind is probably the end of the week, I would say. So we'll see what happens next week. By the time you guys are listening to this, who knows? There may be a deal. Maybe there won't be. I don't know.
Yeah. Yeah. I do want to give Fran Drescher props because, you know, she's had some highs and some lows during a lot of this. And I you know, I thought she would be out somehow, some way, as president of the, because she's president of SAG after, right? Yeah. I honestly, from just some of the really low moments she has had in this process, I thought she would be out by now. But, you know, I give her credit for sticking to her guns and doing what she can to try and get a deal happening.
I think majority of the union, you know, agrees with how she's behaved during this. I think there's just, as always, you know, like the naysayers are going to be the loudest. So I feel like we hear a lot from people who don't agree with how she's handled herself, but I feel like probably majority of the union is appreciative. I don't know. It's hard to say. I'm not in the union, so I can't really say, but I she has had some missteps, but you know, the thing that came out this past week where, like, George Clooney and Ben Affleck and Emma Stone and Adriana DeBose and a whole bunch of people who have movies coming out over Thanksgiving had met, had gotten together with SAG and, like, said, hey, we'll pay more in our, what is it called? Dues or whatever it is, whatever word it is they use for it. You know, if it means that we can make sure that everybody gets paid more money or gets their money sooner or something. And I did admire how, like, led by Fran Drescher, the guild came out and was like, listen, that's a very kind offer and we should definitely look into that. However, some of the things you're proposing are actually illegal under labor laws and we cannot do them. And they also said, but also the studio should be talking to us, not to our members. So,
yeah,
you know, we appreciate our membership being concerned, but perhaps maybe the studios should talk to us directly and not through our members. And I was like, oh, so it was a way of, like, politely calling people out. You know, and I did find out, because I was real upset about that. I was like, maybe some of these A-listers should get out on the picket lines instead of shilling for the studios. But then I found out that they were sort of handling both sides of it. Like, George Clooney, he had talked to the SAG-AFTRA about trying to smooth some things over that they could do to help with the deal financially, but he also pressured the studios to go back to the table. So he was doing both things. To give him credit for that, but I did admire the way the guild came out and was like, listen, these are great ideas and we appreciate your kindness, but we can't actually do them. And these suggestions don't actually have anything to do with our deal with the studios or your pension or your benefits in any way.
Yeah.
Because the trades were trying to say, like, the A-listers were trying to fix the problem with the guild when actually nothing they were trying to fix would have affected the deal at all. So it's been a mess. But I do think that those A-listers sort of pressuring on both sides helped get everybody back to the table. I don't think the CEOs expected to get such a bad rap for walking away. Because the minute they walked away, everybody was like, what the fuck? Why?
I kind of want to be a fly on the wall in the room to just be like, what the fuck? Like, how? Like, how do you go through the whole thing with the WGA? And then think, oh, no, we're just going to go back to what we did before. When, like, they never were on the winning side. Never. Yeah.
I think they have this misconception that the public is on their side. And the public is not on their side. And I would very much like there to be a forum of, like, normal people who don't work in the industry that could be there at negotiations and be like, listen, do you CEOs realize that you're coming across as a bunch of entitled, greedy dicks? Or... no. do you not know that? Do you not know that we all hate you? No? Yes, even you, Mr. Bob Iger. Yes, even you. Yeah. I don't know, man. I am, like I said, I'm cautiously optimistic that there'll be some progress next week. If there's not, there's going to have to be some timeline reassessing for whether or not we're even going to be able to get episodes until next fall, next TV season. Aside from stuff that's already filmed, you know, like the new Magnum PI season, I think, no matter what. I think Quantum Leap has some episodes to air. Some other shows. There's a few. And then, of course, the networks are doing this tricky thing where they're taking things that have previously been streaming only and airing them as if they're brand new. So we'll have some of that too. But right now I feel like TV is all reality TV and game shows.
Yeah.
It's just boring. I want some drama, man.
Yeah.
Where are my procedural soap operas? I need them back.
You know, and we'll have this, but I mean, God forbid if they don't get something, like, this will be a longer break than COVID was, right?
Let's see. Yeah, because the COVID's no, well, will it? Yes, it will. Because the season before COVID, what ended in like, no, will it?
I feel
I'm
like
trying to remember the actual
feels longer.
Years.
It feels longer than
I
COVID.
I need to look up. Hold on. Let me, I know how I can figure this out.
But I mean, you know what I mean? Like, it just feels like COVID longer than COVID.
I mean, it's very reminiscent of, you know, the COVID season. But let me, hold on. I can figure this out real quick here.
It's just, we were so hopeful we'd never be in that situation again.
I know, we really were. It was just like, okay, so it was 2020. Okay, and then yeah, okay. So the shows stopped airing somewhere in April 2020 and then came back, depending on the network, either like in November 2020 or January 2021, depending on how they handled that. So, yeah. For some shows, it will be a longer hiatus. For others, it'll be shorter because we still had a full season last year.
Yeah.
It just depends on how fast, once a deal, if a deal, is made with SAG. It just depends on if they can get people to agree to shorter holiday hiatuses, like holiday breaks. Yeah. And if how quickly they can get going with filming, which, you know, when the WGA made that deal, CineSpace, I know, in Chicago was like already making phone calls to get equipment they needed to get everything dusted off and opened up. So I'm sure phone calls have already been made and they'll be ready to go once there's anything to act on. And we know the writers are working. So hopefully, if we can get a deal by the end of next week, that's really the only thing we need. And then I think we can get episodes in January, because I think Warren Light, like before WGA had their deal, was like, hey, if we can get both these strikes resolved by the end of October, we can have a January to May season. So, I mean, we still have time. Not a lot of time, but we still have some time.
Yeah.
You know, if it's going to be, it's going to be close.
Yeah.
Because they're going to have to get it to where we have episodes in January, the writers and the actors are going to have to agree to less time off over the holidays. Normally, I think they take 2 weeks.
But I think don't know, everybody might be a little stir crazy that they're like, oh yeah, sure.
Well, I'm sure people need the money, you know, like I'm
also that
positive about that. So I don't think it'll be a problem, but I just think they've got to get everybody to agree to it.
Yeah. And you cause that's not like you can make an assumption about that. It needs to be like, yes, we sign off on this. Yeah. We'll all do it. So
exactly. But the good thing is, though, you know, there was all this talk about certain shows that the contracts were changing so that people would be in fewer numbers of episodes total, like each actor. We don't have to worry about that now.
No.
We're going to be lucky if we get 12 episodes.
Yeah.
Maybe. Yeah. You know? And so I think at least the good thing about that is we'll have full ensembles in all the episodes. We're not going to have to trade off as much. as we would. So that part will be good.
Yeah.
If it gets off the ground, that's got to happen first. Which, speaking of ensembles on shows,
Yeah, I
there
mean,
was.
we're starting to get some. We got one inkling, granted, not about Fire Country, which I'm still crossing my fingers because we have heard nothing of Fire Country. And so I'm hoping that means no news is good news on that front. But
Yeah,
I
we've
don't
heard
know.
nothing about the cast. I mean,
Yeah,
we
nothing
have,
about the
we,
cast.
yeah,
Yeah.
we know there are some, based on that article that came out, there is at least one brand new writer in the
Yeah.
writer's room. I think there's probably more than that, but they mention her specifically as new to the room. So
Okay.
I do know that. But as far as cast Fire Country, we have no news.
No, so
So
no news is
hopefully,
good news.
yeah, hopefully that's good news because Chicago PD did get some news and it was not good news.
Yeah.
Tracy is leaving the show.
In season, so in this season, but no detail of how
When,
many
how many
or if
episodes.
the full season. So,
Yeah. And I have a feeling the only reason that's coming out is because the writers are writing episodes right now and they have to know how many they're going to need her in. But I don't think they want us to know that.
No, no.
They just have to tell us that, you know. It's going to come out if the writers aren't writing her in
Oh,
all
yeah.
the episodes they're currently
No.
working on. So that's interesting. I'm going to be honest. I know a lot of people were really surprised by it. I was not.
No. After what they've done to Haley this past season,
Yeah.
I don't blame Tracy one bit.
No. They've put that character through hell. And it's sort of like what happened with Sylvie. After, you know, with Kara and Sylvie after Jesse left Chicago Fire, it was like they didn't know what to do with Haley after Jay left. And the plot that they chose to give her was not great. So,
Trauma on trauma on trauma.
Yeah, I mean, it's like all they know how to do with her.
Yeah.
And that's stupid. Because we all know Tracy is a great actress. She can do a great number of things. And they choose to only push her down this angst lane. The show itself is just putting everybody in the angst lane. I know a lot of people have opinions that the later seasons of PD are better. I miss the early seasons of PD. I wish I could take like the team that we had from like season 5 to season 9 and give them the format of seasons 1 through 4. That would be the perfect PD for me.
Yeah.
But we can't do that. And so
I mean,
therefore
the
I'm
one,
only ever half satisfied with this show.
yeah, the one bright spot is, you know, hopefully this can wrap up her story well and maybe it's a happy ending. I'm gonna be
But
hopeful.
how?
I know.
How
I don't
though?
know how. I don't know, but I'm gonna be optimistic and hope for the best.
This is okay, let's talk about this because I'm sorry, spoilers for those of you who don't watch Chicago PD, but if you don't, you're better off, and it's fine that we spoil you because you need to know this going in before you put yourself through it anyway. So the big ship, Chicago PD, was Upstead for a long time, right? And like what happened with Bretzi, they finally get them together, they get them married, and then an actor leaves the show. And that actor that leaves the show happens to be half of the big ship. And so now they've got these two characters who are married, one of them who is no longer in Chicago, because that's always how they write people off on these shows. It's never like they just take a job somewhere else and maybe they exist off screen. No, it's always like they have to go to the farthest corner of the world away from everyone they love and never talk to them ever again, or they die. It's one option or the other. It's stupid, but that's what they do. And so, of course, this character goes away. So now they have Haley left. She's married, so they can't put her into another love plot, which I'm sure they would have loved to have done, as we saw with Sylvie. So instead, what they do is they kill this ship that everybody loved, that had a bunch of people watching every week, waiting for these two to get together. They kill the ship. And the season ended with Haley taking off her wedding ring. Right? Because Jay is not speaking to her. He can't get a hold of him. He agreed to extend his like contract and didn't talk to her about it, which, first of all, he agreed to take this job without talking to her about it, right? Mm-hmm. She's had no say in any of this, and she's his wife. So, yeah, if I were her, I'd be taking that ring off too, because,
well, yeah,
hell, man.
Yeah.
And so that's how the season ends with, for her, basically, is her taking this ring off and basically being done with that relationship. And she's going to leave the show. So how are they going to... the only way is to somehow get Jesse back, which I don't know at this point if that's even possible.
Yeah.
And maybe reveal that it wasn't, everything with Jay wasn't as it seemed somehow. Like, maybe he couldn't get a hold of her because he was, or maybe she couldn't get a hold of him because he was undercover, or he was hurt, yeah, or, you know, something crazy, mm-hmm, dramatic that explains why, mm-hmm, there was no communication between them. That's the only way they make this better.
I'm just still gonna hope for the best, and that we, you know, if anything that comes out of it, I just need a good Trudy and Haley moment to at least come out of it, because they've built that up way too much,
yeah,
to have there be,
oh,
no,
for sure,
good, no good, now, good goodbye.
Trudy was the cop that inspired her to become a cop, yeah, so there has to be. I mean, I understand everybody on that show, that works on that show, that writes on that show, that produces on that show, they're all Voight crazy. I get it. You love Voight. But
I hear the word Voight and it makes me like want to vomit a little bit.
I hate Voight. But I also hate that they've made Haley and Voight so close. And I'm like, can we? I understand that that's what they want, but I don't want that. I want Trudy. So let's just drop that and let's just bring it back to where Trudy is the cop, mm-hmm, that inspired Haley to become a cop.
Mm-hmm.
And let's leave it there.
Mm-hmm.
Let's leave it there. But also, it also seems like, and there's been no official announcement about this, mm-hmm, just based on some things we've seen, that Benjamin's not coming back either.
I love Berserk Water. I love them dearly. But that also means we just have Berserk Water and Voight. It's Trudy. And Trudy is there too. But,
and also, can we talk about, other than Voight, Haley is the only detective in the unit? Because none of the rest of them have been promoted yet?
We were so hopeful at one point of Sergeant J. Halstead. Like, oh yeah, 100%. And to know where we are now, I'm just like, how did we get here?
I know.
How, like...
Listen, you know I've been there, because...
This is not 2 + 2 = 4. This is 2 + 2 = 97. And I don't get it.
And I'll admit, PD is not my favorite show, but you know I've been there with Fire, because my end game for Fire... Mm-hmm. Not just Bretzi, but also Matt taking over for Bowden,
uh-huh,
at 51. Like, I just saw that if the show ever ended, or if Bowden ever decided, if Eamon ever decided to, mm-hmm, leave, I forgot his name for a second,
mm-hmm,
that I just assumed that that's what would happen. It would be like a passing of the torch, and then, you know, Matt would be in charge of the firehouse, and then, mm-hmm, Jesse Spencer leaves. So it's sort of like...
Well, and even, I'm sorry, same thing with Chicago Med at this point. No Will Halstead.
No.
It's Chicago Med. I'm just like...
Yeah, you realize, listen, technically Haley is the last Halstead in Chicago.
It's so upsetting.
So, like, once she leaves, there's no connection to the Halsteads on the show at all.
That's like it's a stab to my heart.
It's so weird. It's like I realized there's not a single trace of Dawson left in Chicago.
No. Nope.
There's no, mm-hmm, there's no Gabby, no Antonio. I mean, they were like so essential in the early seasons, and they're just gone. Yep. Same thing with the Halsteads. It's just so strange. Like, I don't know.
Well, don't know about Taylor Kinney yet either.
He's been in Lulo's stories.
Okay, good. So I haven't been
paying
attention to that.
I feel like we'll be okay.
Okay, yeah. Cross fingers.
I only check on Lulo every now and then, but I did see him with Lulo's dog.
Okay. I'm going to cross my fingers because I can't take anymore.
Yeah.
I can't take anymore.
I haven't been paying as close attention because, I mean, we're in hiatus. My brain can only hold so much stress.
Yeah.
So I can't really focus on that, but I did see him hanging out with Lulo. Yeah, but I, you know, everybody keeps talking about the fire, Chicago fire. Oh my God, cliffhangers. Why am I blanking on so many words today?
It's all good.
Oh my gosh. And everybody's worried about Kara potentially leaving the show. And I still have no idea where I stand with that. I don't know what I believe. I don't know what's going to happen. I have no way of predicting anything anymore. I don't. Like, I feel pretty good that she'll say yes to the proposal and that Mouch will be fine. But I don't actually know, because this show is a freaking wild card and they do whatever they want to do.
And of course, they had to give us a cliffhanger, and then everybody went on strike. And so now
like
it's
the worst possible cliffhanger too, on both counts. Like, I want my ship, but I also want Mouch to be at their wedding. So, you know, it's like, why is this what we do? I appreciate season 8 more now, because they didn't know the season was going to end.
So it was still, it ended on a satisfying note. Like, it still was like, no,
we didn't get like the high drama cliffhanger, because nobody knew it was going to end. So it just sort of ended with them saying goodbye to Foster, and like, okay, fine. That's a good enough season ending for me. I just can't. I did have the thought though, because Kara was at Tori and Marina, I think, invited her to this like fundraiser awareness thing for conservation. She was there, so was Nick. And I was like, Tori, Kara, Nick, like they're all, Tori and Nick are still in Chicago, but no longer on the shows, right? And I'm like, Kara's hanging out with them. In my head, like, went there for like a second, and I was like, no, I can't even, like, I'm not even gonna conspiracy theory this, because there's no point. No. Nobody's gonna know nothing.
No.
Especially not for fire.
No.
Because while PD, it's normal for them to say, hey, so-and-so is exiting ahead of time.
Yeah.
Fire does not do that. It's always wait and see.
It's always the deadline article after the episode has aired. Always.
Like, or the tease from the actor, like, right before the episode airs. I wish they wouldn't do it. Just tell me ahead of time. It's fine. Let me prepare for it.
Yeah, let me have my mental breakdown weeks in advance. And so by the time it does come around, I've already gone through the vicious cycle of grief.
The stages of grief have been achieved, right?
Yeah.
And like, we're good. We can make
peace
with it.
Then we get to the
it.
Point of acceptance. And I mean, I still don't fully accept it, but I'm less angry about it.
Right, exactly. Like, I keep trying to puzzle out in my head how Kara would stay on the show if Bretzi is engaged and there's a baby. And I can't find a way. And I also can't, like, it's one or the other. It's either she says no and doesn't get the baby and stays on the show, or she gets everything she wants and Sylvie's no longer on the show. Like, I just can't see that they give her two good things. And then she stays on. That's not how this show works.
Yeah.
Example, Hakami. It's not how this show works.
Yeah.
Oh man, I don't know. But yeah, there's been only one piece of news for them too, and that's not, it wasn't good news. So I'm going to appreciate that we don't have any Fire Country news yet.
No news is good news for us at this point.
And we're going to hold on to that for a little while.
Yep.
And we'll see what happens this week. Cause you know, but I mean, speaking of the deal, the Eras Tour movie. I know we both went to see it, because of course everyone who listens knows we are Swifties.
Yes.
There is no way you have listened to this point and you don't know that we're Swifties. But
if you didn't, then that would be really awkward with some of our recent episodes.
So awkward. But so first things first, to even release the movie, she circumvented the studios and made a deal directly with AMC, which was amazing. Because the studios wanted to like hold off releasing it a certain amount of time. Taylor's like, no, I want to release it now. Like right now. And so she went around them. And so when
worked with SAG to ensure it, like, kind of met their guidelines.
Yeah, she made sure, I think she made sure that she had an agreement with SAG that it was okay to go ahead and release it. But which I think SAG said anyway, if it's directly related to music and only music, then it should be fine. Like if it's not music for a movie, then it shouldn't get in the way of that. But anyway, yeah, she did. She worked with them to make sure. But I just think it's so funny that even she had an issue with the studios and had to go around them.
Well, and even more of an issue now again, because like her whole thing is like, it's been airing, it's started airing in theaters, and eventually it's gonna come to a streaming service of some sort. And she's like, I'm not making a deal. I think until she said the SAG deal gets figured out, right?
Yeah, she's not even gonna gonna try anything until that gets
good for you
out.
Taylor.
Yeah, and a lot of people have been praising her for like the way she's handled this. But that's why if you've gone to see it and you've noticed that there's an AMC distribution like title card attached to it, that's why. Because AMC is the primary distributor. So that's some craziness, but it was so fun.
I know we both have been incredibly lucky enough to get to see the concert itself in person, being performed live, but it was just so magical to be able to get to go to a theater. And I'm sorry, I was also very happy I got to sit finally.
Yeah.
And got to enjoy, I mean, I enjoyed myself standing for the 3 hours I did when I saw my show, but it was also just lovely to sit down.
Listen, I was just happy to not be rained on, because I was at a rain show. So.
Yes, you were.
A rain show that didn't start until like 10 p.m. So, you know, I was happy to be inside and not have to worry about the weather. But did you see all the TikToks of like the people doing crazy shit?
A little bit. I thought it was cute at my theater, though. It was like this group of not like maybe like six kids kept going down and dancing.
Well, that's when you're a kid.
I thought that was cute. Yeah, I thought that was adorable.
There was a group of like two or three little girls that were doing that too. Yeah. But when it's little girls, that's different. Kids can't sit still anyway. You know, they're going to have the wiggles. Yeah. So I'm cool with the kids getting the wiggles out. But there was one video, I mean, of teenagers to grown people running around in this little circle in front of the screen, like holding hands. And then there was one where these people were standing like in front of the screen and like holding hands and swaying. And all I could think about was the end of The Grinch Stole Christmas, you know, like
I mean, is it my favorite? Is it weird me out a little bit? Yeah. But, you know, if you're enjoying yourself in that moment, you know,
I don't mind enjoying yourself. My problem is when you get in the way of other people enjoying it.
Yeah.
That's my problem. And the other thing that was even at my show a problem was people turning on their cell phone lights and pointing them at the screen, which washes out the screen.
Yeah.
And that I didn't enjoy at my showing, but I dealt with it because I understood. It's like a concert vibe, but I did not like it.
Yeah, that feels a little like you're at a movie theater, you're not at the actual concert, but
which thankfully this didn't happen at my show, but I was really worried because in the theater that I went to, the assistant seating, the handicap seating is in the, which I don't really think you're supposed to say handicap anymore, but that's what they call it, is in the back. And it's not stadium seating. So I was so terrified that people were going to like stand up and block the view of people who can't stand up. But that didn't happen at my theater, thank goodness. But I did see some TikToks where that did happen. And like, I understand, you know, we all want to enjoy ourselves and have fun and it's a concert, but I think you also need to be considerate of the people around you so that they also have a good experience. You know, I was lucky with my theater. The only problem I had was the cell phone lights, which I could deal with. And it was only during a couple of songs. So it's not like, you know, I had to deal with it the whole concert. But yeah, I saw some TikToks that were like, okay, calm down. And I say that as a Swiftie who does not know how to calm down. So anyway, but I enjoyed it. My best friend and I went together. She did not get a chance to see the actual tour. She's actually a recent Swiftie. I converted her. Very happy that she is enjoying Swifty stuff now, so we can enjoy it together.
Good.
But yeah, so she didn't get a chance to see the tour. Yeah. But when we came out of it, she said, well, now more than ever, I want to find a way to get tickets somehow.
Yeah.
So I think she's going to work on that. So
nice.
I think everybody kept talking about, like, is this going to impact her ticket sales? No. I think what it does is it makes you want to have that experience yourself with her. Like, there's one thing to see her on a screen. It's another to be in the same venue with her. And I can tell you from my rain show, like, you can't beat it. I would very happily stand out in the rain in a thunderstorm, because I did, and watch her show. I mean, we were at the top of Nissan Stadium and I could see lightning around us. It was far away because they won't start the show if it's if it's too close, but because you're high up, it looks closer than it is.
Yeah.
So I literally was up there watching the lightning and hearing the thunder and at the same time enjoying her show. And I was totally fine with it.
Yeah.
Didn't stress me out, because I was going to enjoy that show.
Yeah.
No matter what.
Yeah. And I mean, it's like you said, it's just something else. Just like, I've seen other artists, but like there's nobody like Taylor Swift. I'm sorry. There isn't. But you know, it's still one of my favorite things of this concert is, you know, I've been seeing a lot of TikToks though of like, people becoming converted to Taylor Swift, because I hate to say people drag them to go see it, but then they're like, I don't know how she does it. That, like, it's amazing. And like, now, like, I blinked and 3 hours went by and like nothing, and I want more. And it's just, I like, that's just what's making me really happy is like, I think a lot of people do fall prey to like the pop culture-ness of like, oh, it's not cool like Taylor Swift. You know, I'm sorry, how many years in and this woman is now a billionaire? Like, if you don't like her, fine, whatever, but like, give it a try, see if you like it. It's been really fun to see people get turned around and become Swifties now.
Yeah, it's that attitude that anything mainstream is not cool. You know, that's been around for a long time. I mean, pop music has always, there's always going to be people that have that attitude of pop music not being artistic enough because it's mainstream. Frankly, I think that's a little bullshit. Whether something is mainstream or not, it's still art. Yeah, but I know what you're talking about. I've seen those too, where, like I said, well, my friend, the way that happened was I was sitting in her car with her and I put on, because she let me have control of the playlist, fair warning to you, if I am in the car and you give me control, I'm putting on Taylor Swift, just so you know. And I put on Folklore. And then we started having a conversation about music. And I started like explaining the songs as they were coming on. And then after I got out of the car, she kept listening. So that's how that started. So it's one of those things, like, if people give it a try, they see the value in the art. You just have to get over the whole, like, I'm too cool for anything mainstream mindset and be open to it.
Also, in all likelihood, with Taylor having so many different eras, whether you might like just one particular era, and that might be what's it for you, and that if that's what it is, so be it. But just go and give it a try.
Yeah, I don't think anybody has to like all of her music. I don't think you even really have to like any of her music.
Yeah,
but I would like a person to at least give her props. Make sure she gets her flowers, because she is a smart lady. She has made
also
a lot of money.
Happy release of 1999 Taylor's version.
I'm so excited. I got my CDs because I ordered multiple, so I might have gone overboard. and then my Tangerine edition of the vinyl should be here next week. I'm so excited.
Yeah. No, I was livid though, because I'm somebody, if I can, I tend to be a late night person, so I like listening to the album when it drops. I got beef with Apple now because they screwed up. I did not get my album, and granted, I pre-ordered it. Like, I sometimes it likes me, sometimes it doesn't. So I've sometimes waited to pre-order until like midnight, whatever. It did not download for an hour, and I was mad. And I get it, like, it shit happens, but like, you guys know, like, Apple, you know, this isn't a surprise.
Yeah,
this isn't a surprise. But I think somebody did mess up on their side, because they said the release date on the app for like good solid 40 minutes was 2 days later than the release day. So I think somebody had accidentally entered some wrong things. And
It
then, of
could
course,
be
everybody was trying to download it.
at the same time.
It freaked it. But I'm just like, Apple. And I think, and granted, I think I heard Spotify crashed as usual again with it
See,
dropping.
I didn't stay up. I was too tired. I went to bed and then I listened to it in the car the next day. Let's take a moment since we're talking about it. Favorite vault track.
Oh, I mean, look at it. It's give me 1 second to look at it. It's really hard because I think I'm stuck between Say Don't Go and Is It Over Now. It's really hard because
But they're, and this is my problem too, they're all so good.
they
I really
are.
just have to go with the one that has vibes that I think like speak to my soul, and that's Slut.
Yeah,
Like
Slut
the
is really good too.
dreamy backing track on that one, and like I love it. It reminds me of the Lover album so much, and that's my favorite album. So I love that one.
And I mean, I don't know if it's just me, but it feels like these vault tracks are very cohesive, which sometimes the vault tracks for some of the album re-releases are just their own individual things, but this kind of feels like they're all meant to go together.
Well, I'll say this, the vault tracks feel like they go together, but they don't feel like they vibe match with 1989, which explains why they're vault tracks, right? Like they have a very different vibe than the rest of that album. Which you go in with vault tracks sort of expecting that. I think the vault tracks that were the most consistent were Fearless's vault tracks. Those tracks sounded like they were meant to be in that album. But And I think Speak Now had vault tracks that were pretty consistent too. But yeah, 1989's vault tracks, they're all amazing. I mean, they are all amazing tracks, but they don't really sound like the rest of the album. And I actually think Suburban Legends sounds like it would belong on like Folklore or Evermore. It has like those kind of vibes to me. But I love all of them. I do like Say Don't Go is growing on me. Now that we don't talk, like hit me in my feels real hard. They're all good. But Slut, man, the first time I heard it, I was like, oh yeah, I instantly had visuals for it. It was like, you know, like that mid-century modern, like hot pink, you know, flamingos and like big like turquoise pool and you know, when you look at a pool late at night and it's hot and the water is cold, there's like that mist that forms on top of it. Like that was my instant like visual in my head. And I was like, ooh, this is so dreamy. Like I love this.
No, I realize 1989 is kind of a top album for me now. Now I'm realizing it, but I also what was cracking up because I was not getting to listen to it the next morning or even afternoon. Really, I was getting some TikToks, and you know, I know people were like thinking, "Oh, it's 1989. Like Harry Styles might appear on it or something." And then you listen to the vault tracks, and you're like, "That was definitely never in the cards."
Is it over now specifically? Like, man. And
And granted, like we all know, like they've seen each other since, and I think, you know, air is
they're
clear. It's
friendly, you know.
friendly.
I'm not gonna call them friends, but they're friendly.
But it's, you know, it's like I keep seeing this, like, I hate to say joke, but like people saying the commentary of like, you're finally old enough to understand why mom and dad got divorced.
Well, I think it's so funny because up until this point, it's really sort of felt like Taylor Lautner and Harry Styles have been mostly safe. And those vault tracks come out and they're all about him. Like he is all over those vault tracks and you're like, "Oh, he's no longer safe. He has not been marked safe."
No, it's I there's like one particular TikToker, she reacts as to Taylor she
I
reacts as Taylor Swift
yes.
exes, and she did one for like one of, I can't remember off the top of my head which one it
Well,
was.
okay, I need to go look it up because I was
It's
waiting for her to do one.
Chef Kiss, because it's just so, and Travis Kelce, she does a Travis Kelce cameo in it too, which was like very entertaining. But it was just, I was like, yeah, no, I really enjoyed it because it's about one of these songs, and it's just so funny to be like, yeah, it's at least like, you know, she wanted to write what she wanted to write at the time, and good for her for getting her emotions out what she needed to. It's just so interesting how time changes, and we all have built up
I
this
mean,
thought in our head. And I mean, understandable. We never knew kind of what happened. But...
I mean, we're only going to know like what we hear. It's not like, and that's the thing about Taylor, at least not anymore. She doesn't go around talking about these things.
Yeah.
It's just they come out in the songs.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Early on, she talked about them. I mean, we all remember the Joe Jonas thing and how that went down. We knew about that breakup. Explicitly in words. But since then she hasn't really done that where like she airs all of it out for us to know exactly what went down. Sort of like we have to listen to the songs and be like, oh, I know what she's talking about. You know, so there weren't the ones that are about Harry are ones that are, it's more speculation that it's about Harry. You know, there's always the debate, is this about Harry or is it about somebody else? And I think now that those vault tracks are out, the ones that were suspected to be about Harry, we can now just say no, they're about Harry. So it's definitely interesting, the new like context we have now for things. Yeah, Harry's house is definitely not safe. Not safe anymore. No.
Pat yourself on the back, Taylor Lautner.
Yeah, that's it. He's the good one.
Also, I mean, Tom Hiddleston he got nothing.
That's true. He's never said anything. Yeah.
Yeah. So, but it's just go watch that. I'll send it to you after we're done recording, Logan, so you can have a real fun giggle.
Yes, please do. Because Katie sent me an old one that was like Forever and Always, and like her as Joe Jonas like sinking down into the seat was so funny to me. So yes, please send it to me. I would like
I
to
watch
it. Anyway, but yeah, so that came out.
Yeah.
Oh, I guess we need to talk about the sad thing. A couple nights ago, it came out that Matthew Perry died at 54.
Which is, that's way too soon.
It is.
That's
it way is. Too soon. Yeah, and I feel like since we're both Friends fans, we should probably talk about it and talk about him. Chandler, full disclosure, is my favorite friend. I have always loved Matthew Perry's performance on the show, and the way he delivers lines is so, it was so good and perfect. And I related to the character so much. I mean, you know, everybody's like, which friend are you? And most women will pick one of like Phoebe, Rachel, Monica. I was Chandler. I've always been Chandler. So it's very, it's a hard one. That's a hard one.
I mean, it's honestly, I haven't cried too much about it, but I haven't let myself, I think, really think about it too much. I've gotten close at times. But I feel almost on par for me, like when Jason David Frank left us, sadly. And because it's just, there's stuff that we have watched for the better part of our lives. And it doesn't seem real.
I think, I mean, I agree with you. I haven't cried too much about it, but I think for me, what gets me when I do cry is seeing the way everybody else remembers him as well. And then reading about, because recently people have been, quotes have been resurfacing from him about how he'd like to be remembered or what he'd like to be known for. And when I read those, I get emotional. Or like all the art that's come up lately, that makes me emotional.
Oh, I did get teary-eyed because Charlie Puth, he's doing I don't know if he's on tour, concert in like Melbourne or something. And he stopped to do like the Friends tune. And it's everybody singing along with it and doing like the clapping. Gosh. And it's just, I mean, that's what you can go to, I mean, granted, they have Friends in Australia, but it's just like, that's the kind of crazy impact somebody can have, that it means that much to that many people, that you could play this bit of a song and people just know what it is because it's from the show he was on.
Yeah. And I saw a quote directly from him where he actually talked about, the quote was, I think, started, I'm going to paraphrase because I can't remember exactly, but it was like, I know that when I die, people are going to talk about friends. Yeah. It's like that can't be avoided. And I'm glad I got to be a part of something that brings people joy. But I hope they also talk about the ways in which I've helped people. And then he explains, like, he actually helped start a halfway house sort of like a recovery mm-hmm. house, basically, for men recovering from addiction,
mm-hmm.
for men struggling with addiction, mm-hmm. and some other charities that he was involved in. But he did a lot of
mm-hmm.
work for people like him who struggled with similar things
mm-hmm.
to himself. And so I do think he would like for people to talk about that as well. So mm-hmm. I read that quote and I was like, oh man, because he had it, you know, he hit it on the head when he was like, mm-hmm. I know it's going to be friends,
oh,
but,
yeah.
I don't know. You got to respect a person who wanted to be remembered for the ways in which
mm-hmm.
they have at least tried to help people.
Mm-hmm.
And I think there was another quote that really got to me too, where somebody asked him how he would like to be remembered. And he listed off some specific things, but he ended it with, you know, it was like to be remembered. And he listed off things. And then he said that running into me was never a bad thing.
Mm-hmm.
That if you ran into me, you know,
mm-hmm.
you were happy to see me. I'm like, that gets me. Mm-hmm. Just that simple mm-hmm. little thing of like, I hope that when I die, you know, nobody thinks, oh man, I wish I hadn't run into that guy. Mm-hmm. Like, it's such a simple thought, but it's very like impactful.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And then everybody's bringing up old like clips, behind the scenes clips of him. And like,
mm-hmm.
oh, it's man, it's a.
Mm-hmm. And so, because your TV recommendation is always watch Studio 50.
Studio 60 on the Sunset Strip.
I don't know why I want to say 54. I don't know why.
Because the Studio 54 was a real place in New York.
Okay. That's why.
That's why. No, Studio 60 on the Sunset Strip was an Aaron Sorkin show mm-hmm. that was on for one season.
Mm-hmm.
And it starred Matthew Perry and Bradley Whitford
mm-hmm.
of West Wing fame, mm-hmm. Sarah Paulson and Amanda Peet,
mm-hmm.
along with Steven Weber.
Mm-hmm.
Ed Asner,
mm-hmm.
D.L. Hughley. I mean, it had an amazing cast.
That's a star-studded cast,
yeah,
right there.
It had a great cast, but it was on for one season. And the reason it was on for one season is because it started the same year as 30 Rock. And it sort of had the same concept where it mm-hmm. was like the show within a show, the behind the scenes of a sketch comedy show. It's just one was a sitcom and one was a drama.
Mm-hmm.
And NBC sort of put their weight behind the sitcom.
Mm-hmm.
And they sort of purposefully drove Studio 60 into the ground. So, but by the end of the season, the show knew they weren't getting another season. So they wrapped it up.
That's
and
good.
So it has a great ending. The characters are so beautiful to me.
Mm-hmm.
It's like a very diverse group of people.
Yeah.
And when I say diverse, I mean like genders, races, beliefs.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
It was just so interesting the way that these people like clashed and yet cared about each other. And
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I don't know. And then you add in like the politics of being involved in TV in
mm-hmm.
the post 9/11 mm-hmm. era,
yeah,
which that was 2006. So, I mean, it was just
That's
5 years
pretty
after.
Recent. Yeah.
Yeah. And it was, I don't know. It was just a very impactful show to me because I was in college, like my freshman year of college. It was the first mm-hmm. show that I remember planning my schedule around to watch mm-hmm. like for myself, because
mm-hmm.
up until that point most of the shows I watched were either like high school soap operas or I watched them with my parents, right?
Mm-hmm.
This was like a show that I watched for myself that my
mm-hmm.
parents hated, because mm-hmm. Here's a disclaimer, or just give you a heads up, there's a lot of discussion about religion
mm-hmm.
on the show, and there's a lot of debate about Christianity
mm-hmm.
And what it means. So yeah, anyway, but it's such a good show.
Mm-hmm.
And Matthew Perry is so good in it. He mm-hmm. plays a character named Matt Albee. Highly recommend it.
Mm-hmm.
I was obsessed. But it's one of those that's hard to find because it was one season.
Mm-hmm.
It's not on HBO Max. It's not streaming anywhere. You basically have to buy it.
Okay. So
or download it. I know it's on like Apple TV for you to buy the season
mm-hmm.
if you wanted to do it that way, or it's basically you have to buy it. There's nowhere to mm-hmm. watch it for free.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, highly recommend that show.
Yeah,
he was
no, because I was gonna recommend too, because I know that had always been your TV recommendation. One of the rom-coms that has always stuck with me is Fool Tradition with Matthew Perry
I
and
love that
Selma
movie.
Hayek. So if anybody has not had a chance to watch that, go watch it, because it's so good, and it's been so long since I watched it, so I need to go watch it like this week. But it also makes me mad because I think Matthew Perry should have had more of a rom-com career than he did.
I agree. I agree. I think that movie and 17 Again prove that he should have been in so many rom-coms, because he was charming and he was funny.
It's just so
I
good.
don't know.
And it's just like, and I saw like a weird quote, like not a weird quote, but I think he said like he was proud of his work he did with Friends, but like he said, like one of his like prouder roles he was, I got to be the love interest to Salma Hayek. And it's like, you know, like when somebody he holds up his female co-star, like, yeah, go for that. And but it's just like such a lovely thing. And I mean, I'm always a sucker for like, even though I don't like Elvis the person, I love Elvis music. And so obviously Fool's Russian, the name of the movie, has some good music, Elvis music with
Because
it
it
too. But
was
it's
mostly set in Vegas, and Elvis and Vegas are sort of.
But it was just one of those really lovely ones that I it's been more than 10 years since I've seen it, but it always stuck with me because the chemistry was so good. And I mean, whether it was Friends or whatever he was in, his comedic timing was just always so excellent. And it's just like, do yourself a favor, if you can go find Studio 60 on the Sunset Strip, go watch that. Then go watch Fool's Russian, because, you know, I mean, also watch as much Friends as you want, but also give some love to these other phenomenal things he's been in.
I remember there was a show that he did that I think the only reason it didn't go forward was because I think he went into rehab, but it was called Go On. And it was about group therapy, basically. Like, his character was a sports broadcaster, who I think it was like court mandated group therapy. And Laura Benanti played the leader of the therapy group, like the counselor that was in charge of the group. And I remember I loved that show. It was such a good show. And I was so sad when it didn't go on. But of course, I understood, because I think that was one of his times he had to go back into rehab. And so they couldn't go on the show without him because he was the star. But if you can find that show anywhere, you should definitely give that a try. I loved that show. It also had a great cast. I think, and this is mostly what I think about Matthew Perry, I think he knew how to pick his projects, even if nobody really appreciated it at the time, even if everything that he's done that I have seen has been quality. It's had characters that have like depth to them, that they're funny, but there's also this darkness to like
Yeah,
all of
because
his characters, even Chandler.
oh yeah, he because the thing is, he knows he can do the comedy with like just by breathing, essentially. So I can completely understand him wanting to look for that role that gave him that little bit extra, because he know he could do the one thing, so he liked to challenge himself to probably do that character with a bit more depth.
And then there's also, he was in, what was that name of that teacher that moved to New York and was like, it was a made for TV movie he did. Was it Run?
I've seen clips of it on TikTok a lot.
He was so good in it. It came on TV the other day and mom and I watched it. Because that was an actual dramatic role for him. I mean, yeah, he was funny in it, but it was mostly a dramatic role. Hold on, I'm trying
No,
to.
I just want to go watch all the Matthew Perry things.
There it is. The Ron Clark story. It was a movie made for TNT. It was a TNT original, presented by, back in the day, it was like presented by Johnson and Johnson. That's funny. But it's so good. And he's amazing in it. I don't know. I just think he didn't get enough of an opportunity to play dramatic roles. Like, even if you think about his turn on the West Wing, the few episodes he was in on the West Wing were so good. And I think that's why when Aaron Sorkin was moving on from the West Wing, and he wanted he like NBC was like, you can do whatever project you want. Like, he specifically picked to work with Bradley Whitford and Matt Perry. So, I mean, this was what that show, Studio 60, was something that Aaron Sorkin really wanted to do. So I think, I don't know, I think Matt Perry just had such potential to be a great dramatic actor, but he never really got the chance. to really show off those chops. So if you want to see him be an excellent in dramatic roles, watch his episodes of The West Wing, watch The Ron Clark Story, watch Studio 60 on the Sunset Strip. That's an excellent dramatic show. He also gets to be funny in it, but he is mostly dramatic. So I don't know. He was a very talented actor. You know, for our elder millennials specifically, we've sort of grown up with Matthew Perry always being on something, you know, like he was always on television some way, somehow. In college, I watched Friends on loop. I had all the seasons on DVD. And I would, I mean, this was before it was on streaming. So I had all the seasons on DVD, watched season one while I studied, wrote papers, whatever it was, you know, rotate through all the discs. And when I got to the end, you just started it right back over again. And those were the DVD box sets that had the extended episodes with like a few extra jokes in them. Man, gonna miss him for sure. And I feel so for his friends and family, of course, but I mean, for his fellow castmates on Friends, they were so close and so tight. Like, I can't imagine.
I mean, it hurts, but I'm still glad they got to do that reunion special recently.
Oh, yeah. Well, and I'm glad he got to write his memoir, too. That, like, you know, there were things that he wanted to do for himself that he got to do. Things he got to experience, like that reunion special, where he really got to spend some more time with all of them together. I, you know, it's, he lived a life that, he went through some really tough times. But I think overall, the journey that he went on and who he was as a person, really stuck out, you know, amidst all of the struggles that he had.
And I mean, it would still hurt regardless, but it hurts though too when, you know, he was doing really, really well. And I think that's just what it's like, the little extra stab to the heart is that he had been doing so well as of late that it just feels unfair.
In the memoir, you get the impression that he finally felt like he was coming into himself. Because there's a quote from the memoir where he talks about it took him a long time to realize that he deserved the things that he had. Like because his entire life, the reason he struggled with addiction is because deep down he felt like he wasn't good enough for any of it. And so there's a part of his book where he talks about finally having that realization that, like, he is a talented person. He's he's a good writer. He's a good actor. He's a good friend. He can be all of these things and deserve the things that he has. And he can feel like he deserves the things that he has. Like, it's just extra sad because you feel like he as a person finally reached this place of like accepting himself and embracing who he is and wanting to move forward. And then something like this happens. It is very, sad when you think of it like that. Like I posted on my Instagram the joke where from the, I can't remember which Friends episode it is, where they're sitting in the cafe and he's trying to come up with something to say. And he's like, so this internet thing seems like it's here to stay, huh? And I've always loved that joke, but I posted it on my Instagram because he may be gone, but we're always going to have Friends to rewatch. Chandler's always going to be internet memes. I mean, now I'm getting emotional thinking about like the legacy he's leaving behind. People are going to discover things he's been in for years to come. Like right now, we have a list of things he's been in that are underrated that we'd like people to watch. I mean, he's going to impact people for a long time to come, which is what you want as a human being to have an impact. So he definitely achieved that for sure. So of course our thoughts and our prayers and everything that we have goes out to his friends and family, the people closest to him. I can't imagine. I mean, especially the details that came out about it, which we won't talk about them here. And I'm going to say again, I know TMZ is right majority of the time, but fuck them. I hate every time.
They're still tasteless every single time.
I hate every time something breaks and we get details that probably we don't need.
No.
And that his family probably his family and friends probably wouldn't want to hear in the way that they come out, you know?
Yeah.
And I'll say it every time, even though lately they've been better about being accurate. Fuck them, because I will never forgive them for that video of Paul Walker's, like, the debris from Paul Walker's car just all over the road. I mean, that was minutes after he died.
Yeah, and weren't they really bad with Kobe Bryant's death too?
Yeah, the helicopter. Yes.
Yeah, it's
so fuck them.
Yeah, bad TMZ. Yeah,
I hate it. I hate it so much. I don't care what they're reporting.
There's a special place in hell for TMZ.
Yeah, exactly. Nobody needs to have news about a person that immediately. I don't care if they are a public figure, and if you feel like that they owe you that, they don't owe you anything. Mm-mm. They're a person. Mm-mm.
Correct. Correct.
Okay, I'm done with my TMZ rant. What else do we have to talk about?
I mean, I think we've covered just about everything. Because I mean, it's a little bit everything.
I think so too. Before I say for sure, I'm just gonna pull up the SAG-AFTRA page on Instagram real quick. I'm sure there's been no update, but last thing I'd want is for us to finish and then be like, "Oh crap!"
That's true. So I haven't gotten any update from. I surprisingly the Apple. Breaking news notifications have usually been pretty accurate for me. Have not seen anything come through.
Okay, yeah, their last update is still the one from Friday. So, we're good to go. Man, yeah. So, not a whole lot of news specific to our show, but a lot going on. Just in general in the world. Yeah, so I guess now that we've talked about Matthew Perry and gotten emotional, we can end our show the way we normally do, which is what's been bringing you joy lately, Kim?
It technically hasn't brought me joy yet, but I just seeing it itself, I think I have now become a vinyl girly because I had been going, I went to Target one day last week, and as I was going through, the light in Target somehow hit the Disney 100, like, holographic case of the vinyl, and I'm like, I need that. It's the last one, right? It's just the one right there. The light is on it. I need it. And so I got it, and I think I had never thought I was going to be like a vinyl person, but I saw that, and granted, I think the actual disc, like, whatever, we vinyl, what is it called otherwise,
record?
Record, thank you. I couldn't think the word record. That's not holographic. But it's like the case is so pretty. But I you know, it's been something I've been interested for a long time. So haven't had a chance to actually listen to it yet. But I was just like, it's Disney. The case on it is holographic. It felt right. It felt so right. So
well, welcome to the club, because I am definitely a vinyl girly.
Yeah,
I have a huge collection.
Yeah,
old and new records alike. So welcome to the club.
Thank you.
It's expensive, but it's a lot of fun.
Yeah, you know, I think I'll still be selective with what I kind of choose here and there. But you know, if like I said, it was literally just shining down. That could also be the Target lighting. I don't know. I'm gonna say it just was meant to fate shining that light on it. But I was just like, I saw it and I had.
If I'm buying physical music media these days, I am buying a record. Select CDs I will buy to keep in my car.
Yeah.
Because sometimes I don't want to use streaming. I don't want to use like the data.
Yeah.
So I'll put a CD in the car. But I don't buy as many of those as I used to. Now I buy vinyls, and it is a lot of fun to go to like a used record store, a vintage record store, or whatever, and look through and see what they have. If there's any artists that you particularly love that have records out for a long time. Like, I'm constantly looking for Billy Joel. I love Billy Joel. Constantly looking for Huey Lewis in the News. I know a lot of people don't enjoy them, but I love Huey Lewis in the News. You know, things like that. So, but I also, of course, buy every single Taylor Swift thing that comes out on vinyl. But yeah, so I am a vinyl girly. Welcome to the club. It's a very fun club.
Thank you.
Some of the records are really pretty. I also just recently discovered Mondo. I don't know if you've. Do you remember the movie Josie and the Pussycats? Rachel Lee
Cook,
Tara Reid, Rosario Dawson. I was obsessed with that movie in high school. The soundtrack was like my favorite thing in the world. I played that CD all the time. They have a special edition of it on vinyl with Mondo, so I ordered that, and it's like a purple disc.
Ooh,
it's so pretty. Yeah, Anyway, some of them are really pretty. Like I have the Dixie Chicks Gaslighter album and it's hot pink.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. And I've put the
Yeah.
Barbie soundtrack vinyl on my Christmas
That's
list.
where that was another one I think I might be getting. So
I definitely, whether somebody gives it to me or not, after Christmas, I will have
yeah. Yeah.
it. But I've been banned from buying myself things, so
Yeah, same, same.
my mother has given me the mandate. You are not allowed to buy yourself anything because my birthday and Christmas are coming up, which you're in November
Yep.
girly too, so
Yep.
same boat, I'm sure. Yeah. So anything that I buy myself has to wait. But yeah,
What's
that's
been
a
bringing
very
you
good
joy,
thing.
Logan?
I have been reading a lot more, but I can't say that's been bringing me joy completely because I've
Yeah.
DNF'd two books. So,
Oh.
yeah. I let me just say this. I'm going to say this. I hit my Goodreads goal of 40 books, but now I have a stretch goal of 50. I am three away from hitting it. However, I'm going to say this. Since I've been in a reading phase trying to get this done so I can get back to writing because the reading goal is distracting me from writing. This might be a controversial opinion. Halloween romances slap way harder than Christmas romances. That's my take because the two books that I have DNF'd are Christmas romances, and I read five spooky Halloween books and they all slapped. So,
You know, I wonder if winter works better than Christmas. That, you know, maybe just general winter, but like as far as holiday things, Halloween, I have not read anything, but that makes sense to me. But I don't, I because I tried reading one Christmas book. It did not work out well for me last year. I DNF'd it. I've never DNF'd a book that, to my knowledge, and I DNF'd that one.
I tried so hard. Okay, maybe this is also going to be controversial. Tessa Bailey came out with a new holiday romance called Wreck the Halls. I tried so hard, you guys. I got to page 160 before I was like, I cannot do it anymore. I can't do it. And I had
Hey,
to DNF it.
I want to give her the benefit of the doubt, but the one I also DNF'd was also her Tessa Bailey holiday book.
The window shopping one. I finished
I
that
120
one,
120 stop.
but it wasn't my favorite. I did finish that one though, but it was not, I will admit, it was not my favorite. She has a an extra long novella coming out on December 1st that I'm gonna try and read, and hopefully it's better, but it's a New Year's story. And then she has some sports romances coming out next year. So we'll see, but I know a lot of people talk about Tessa Bailey. There are a lot of people out there that point out the internalized misogyny in her books. I've never too strongly noticed it, but I noticed it in Wreck the Halls a lot. And that's I've never, like I said, I've read almost all of her books and I have never really noticed it. There's only been maybe one or two times in her other books that I've seen it. This one, it was so bad. And that was why I could not finish it. Aside from the fact that the characters' names are Beat and Melody. I it makes me cringe internally. There were some things in that book too that were just like oddly phrased pieces of writing. Anyway, I could not finish that book. And there was another Christmas one that I started that I DNF'd, I think on page 60 or something. Anyway, those were Christmas novels though. Every single spooky book that I've read has been amazing. Like I just read the first two books. We'll use this for Brings Me Joy because this was a surprise to me. So you know that I've been shopping on bookoutlet.com a lot, right? So I went through this thing where I just picked out Halloween romances off of bookoutlet.com and put them on my TBR to read when the season came. One of them was Not the Witch You Wed by April Asher. I didn't have any expectations going into this book. I'd seen the cover, but never heard of it. Nobody really talked about it. I loved this book. It was so good. And there's some world building happening with it too. I always love world building in a romance. You know, where it's like our world, but not quite. Anyway, and so there was a second one that came out that I found. And so I loved the first one so much that I went ahead and bought the second one. And I loved that one too. So, books by April Asher, you guys have been bringing me joy. The third one is supposed to come out in February. And so I'm like anxiously awaiting to read this third one. So we'll say that's the thing that's brought me the most joy, because that was a surprise to me. Like, it was on my shelf. I didn't have any expectations for it, really. But I loved it, like devoured it in a day. So we'll say that. That's been bringing me joy. But also just, I think, working toward that Goodreads goal in general. It's been nice to like focus on that. I have three books left to read. I just finished one called Holly Jolly Diwali, which was, it was good. I liked that it was about Diwali, because that's not like,
it's your standard kind of Christmas, Christian Christmas kind of thing. Oh, sorry. Go ahead, Logan.
Diwali?
No, that is not your standard.
Oh,
kind
yeah.
Of Christian,
no, it's not.
Christmas
yeah.
thing.
Okay. I didn't hear what you said. I was like,
sorry.
No, yeah, it's not. Cause I've never seen a book about it. And so like, I was like, you know what? I'm going to read this. Yeah. And it was really good. I liked the story a lot. So I just finished that one, but now I'm reading A Princess for Christmas by Jenny Holiday. This is another one that was on bookoutlet.com that I was like, well, we're going to buy it and we're going to read it. And it's the first in a series of three, and I have all three of them. So let's hope this one, because if not, the other two are not going to be read. But yeah, so we're going to read this one. I think I'm going to like it because the plot sounds like a real world slant on Enchanted. So I'm excited to dig into that one. I haven't started it yet, but so I think reading has been bringing me a lot of joy lately. Yeah,
that's good.
That and all the D100 stuff. I am been really falling back hard into my Disney history interests. I've watched a lot of documentaries lately, like about there's one, it's called Frank and Ollie, and it's about two of Disney's original nine old men who animated on Snow White. They were like his trusted guys. Frank and Ollie were like best friends. And they both like went to art school at the same time. They started working for Disney at the same time. When they retired, they wrote books together. Their wives were friends. Like, they were just like best buddies. And their sons made a documentary about them, and it was so cute. So I watched that, and I watched the other one. The Boys, which is about the Sherman Brothers, who wrote like the songs for Mary Poppins, Jungle Book, for various like parks things. They're legendary. They were waltz guys that wrote songs directly for the studio. They were the first songwriters to be on contract for a studio, really. That one was sort of bittersweet. I watched Howard, the one about Howard Ashman. That one was sad, but also really beautiful. Talk about another person that died way too young. But yeah, so, you know, Disney history stuff, reading, that's been really like getting me through lately. Enjoyed that a lot. I think that's it for me though. Well, I guess we've reached the end.
Yeah.
And you know, Maya's kicking us out. She's sending us home. We're shutting it down. And we'll see, you know, next time we talk, maybe there'll be a deal and we'll be on our way to new episodes, or maybe we won't and we'll have to come up with content until September.
Okay.
Oh God.
I'm gonna hope for the best that it's ironic when we post that we're outdated, hopefully.
Yeah,
let's
hope, because that happens to us all the time, right?
Yeah.
So let's hope that happens with this one, that like we post this episode and our discussion
magical
about SAG-AFTRA is out of date and irrelevant. Yeah, let's hope.
The one time we're hoping for it.
Yeah, the one time we need it to happen, right?
Yeah.
let's hope the pattern holds true.
Yeah.
But yeah, so time for us to go. We'll talk to you guys later, hopefully with some good news. Yeah, and we do have some things in mind that we want to talk about that are actually related to the show. It's just we need to be closer to episodes airing before we do that. So we're holding on to some things. just bear with us, guys. We're trying. And we're not having episodes out as often because there's just not content. But hopefully soon we get to some of those episode ideas we've been holding on to.
Yeah.
Waiting to be closer to episodes airing. Anyways, we'll talk to you guys later. We're gonna head out of Smokies and let Maya clean up the place and close. Bye, Kim.
Bye, Logan.